Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, making sure all the buttons are pushed the right way as we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday. I'm a day behind there, Ed. Sorry about that. It's Thursday, November the 20th, a week from today. Yes, is Thanksgiving. I've got that straight anyway. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming. That means you don't need to be in front of a radio. If you're around a computer, and most people are these days, you can follow us streaming at buckmastershow.com and, of course, the station's website, kvoi.com. Another hour full of content. Randy Seraglio is with us of the Center of Biological Diversity, Center for Biological Diversity, with an update on the latest release of the Bighorn Sheep in the Catalinas. About 20 minutes past the hour, world-renowned comet discoverer David Levy joins us. He's just back from Germany. He'll tell us about the latest of landing on a comet, that lander that has been had a successful landing. 30 minutes past the hour, Tucson business leader George Khalil on why Tucson desperately needs to keep its own postal processing center. Then we'll close out the show with our monthly Superstars of Science series. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
Want to talk about the latest release of the Bighorns, and before we even get into that, we should mention that this is a partnership where you have environmental groups like the center joining up with government agencies like Fish and Wildlife. It's unusual in some respects, but it's been a pretty good partnership so far.
Yeah, the Arizona Game and Fish Department came to some conservation groups in southern Arizona and said, you know, we'd like to do this bighorn reintroduction into the Catalinas, and we'd like to do it a little differently, or a lot differently from the ones we've done in the past. And we saw a chance to really bring public input and transparency and, you know, all kinds of other important things to this project. And so far, it's working great.
And today, we had how many bighorn released?
Today, there were 14 that ran up the hill there on Push Ridge, 11 females and 3 males. And we were very excited to see that happen. I mean, you work for years to plan out these kinds of projects. And when you stand there at dawn and you look up and you see that bighorn silhouetted on the ridgetop, it really makes it all worthwhile.
And those bighorns had lived for thousands of years in the Santa Catalina mountain range, the last of their kind disappearing from the range, I guess, in the early 90s.
Right? Yeah, around the mid-90s, early mid-90s, they dwindled to zero. And, you know, there were no clear scientific baselines established as to why that happened. There's a series of factors, but all of them are human influences. And they're under our control. I think, you know, it's up to us to give those bighorn a second chance to reclaim the home where they lived successfully for so long.
How are we on the total numbers then from the original group last year? How many are still alive, and how many hopefully by the release today and tomorrow will we have?
Well, there are 12 left over from last year wearing collars. There was one that was put out without a collar, so you know, we don't know whether that one's alive. And then there's an undetermined number of lambs that are up there as well that were born last winter and spring. And again, they're not wearing collars either. So we did have visual confirmation of 5 lambs. You know, 2 of them at least grew up to get through the summer. And, you know, we simply don't know about all the rest. It's difficult to confirm without having the collar data, you know, that we have, the location data.
So only 12 of the 31 from the release then last year, and then we'll have an additional this time around. Unfortunately, we're going to announce right here, there is a little bad news about the release.
Yeah, this morning's release went really well, went mm-hmm. really smoothly. The sheep came right out of the trailer, and we used a different release site this year, which gives them a direct route to the existing herd on the mountain. And we're very optimistic that that will reduce the amount of time they spend wandering around and being really vulnerable to predation, as they were last year right out of the gate. And that worked perfectly this morning. We saw that. Yesterday during the capture, there were some issues that came up, and two of the sheep that they attempted to capture yesterday died. So, you know, that's tragic. I mean, everybody feels bad about that. No one wants to see that. But it is fairly common with projects like this, and you really have to look at it as a population as a whole. And, you know, when you put the sheep up there, yes, some of them are going to die. But in the long run, it benefits the species by helping them reclaim a place where they always used to live. And overall, this program has raised the numbers of sheep in Arizona from less than 1,000 to nearly 6,000 over the last 50 years.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. A couple of people want to talk to you, Randy. Let's go to the live line. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. Our friend Joe Dreyfus is with us. Joe, how are you today?
I'm fine. Well, Bill, how are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks.
Randy, I'd like to compliment you. I so very much appreciate this program and the diverse group of people that got their heads together to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it, and it was my grandparents that did the official count in the 1930s and the private conservation work in the 1930s, and that work lasted until the 90s. And through lack of management, we lost our sheep. Now that we've done all this effort, I know that they're going to keep a keen eye on the numbers, the management, and I am so elated about this. I'm giving you an open invitation anytime that you want to come on the visit to my program to discuss the bighorn sheep issue.
That'd be wonderful. I'm sure Randy would be interested in that. Sunday afternoon, 5 to 6, on the visit with Joe Dreyfus.
Yeah, I'd be happy to discuss on your program. That'd be great.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Alrighty. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Let's go to David. David is waiting on the Buckmaster Show live line to speak with Randy. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I want to bring up the human influence. I think the reason why the sheep disappeared there was because all the development has choked them out. I mean, when the sheep were there, they're just mostly open space. Now they got all of the homes there. And another aspect that's really bad, when they delisted the pygmy out back in 06, I think, it resulted in an explosion of development all over the Tortolita foothills, and we're losing our Sonoran Desert. And I talked to somebody who salvaged the Oros, and these developers are blatantly ignoring the requirement that this they salvage some of the squirrels. This guy had They'd select the squirrels to be saved, and this guy tagged them to be salvaged, and the agriculture people inspected, and he's ready to remove them. The developer just came in with bulldozers and flattened them.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, thank you, David. About the human development, you mentioned that's a problem.
Yeah, you know, that is one of the human influences that no doubt affected the sheep. You know, we think that some of the other factors were more important, in particular fire suppression that really degraded the habitat over time, over decades. It really helped a lot when we had the big fires up there 10 years ago, improved quite a bit of the habitat. But, of course, you know, we need to continue restoring fire to its normal place in the ecosystem. The other two big factors are recreational pressures and dogs. And two things that are very different now for this herd of sheep is there are restrictions in place. You can't take your dog into that bighorn management area anymore. It's very important for people to follow those restrictions. There's signs posted at all the trailheads around Push Ridge there. And, you know, the sheep see the dog as a predator, and it's very much a stressor on them. It can separate mothers from their lambs, and it causes a lot of problems, as well as walking off trail during the lambing season. It's another very important thing to stay on the trails and reduce the disturbance that people have on the sheep. You can see them from the trail. Just bring your binoculars.
So that was my next question, why this reintroduction would be more successful, or why you think the conditions had changed from the 90s. So you think there's some of the restrictions will help.
That's definitely one of them. We also have backcountry rangers out there that are volunteering to do education for hikers and explain to them why this is so important. And, you know, if they see people with dogs, they give them a chance to learn why it's important not to take them in there.
Okay, Richard has been waiting patiently. You're with Randy Seraglio, the Center for Biological Diversity. Go ahead, Richard.
Hello, this is Ricardo Small. Randy, how are you doing?
Good, Ricardo. How are you?
Well, Well, just fine. As you know, I am not really a big fan of this program. And the question I have is that the habitat on the mountain is been burned, at least according to some of the information, and that was one of the reasons that people said, well, now's the time to put the sheep up there. However, in looking at that map with 70 different grids or squares, there are only five that are classified as good, none as excellent, and all the rest of those are either poor or fair for quality of habitat. According to what the Forest Service says, they're not going to be burning any lower elevations. It's going to be way up at the top if they do any controlled burns. How is the habitat going to accommodate a herd of sheep up there in the long run with such a small area classified as good, with
okay.
the vast majority as poor or fair?
Okay.
Well, the majority is actually fair. And if you lump fair in with good, it's easy to say that two-thirds of it is either fair or good. And the sheep use the fair habitat. They definitely do. That habitat model was applied to four different places in that study. And all three of the other places in that study have already had successful reintroductions of sheep. And the Catalina is ranked at virtually the same score as those other places. Three of them were 47s and one was a 48. So Catalina's is the only place that has not yet had sheep reintroduced to it. So I think that's really positive information, actually, that shows us that this is a good idea and this does have an excellent chance of success.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up with Randy Seraglio of the Center for Biological Diversity. So another release tomorrow morning, and we'll see how that goes. You're happy with the release here. Not happy, obviously, that two animals died, not in this morning's release, but getting them here
right.
to the release site.
Yeah. No, yeah. this morning went really smoothly. Jack Hanna was there, and he said it's one of the smoothest releases he's ever seen.
Did you get a picture with Jack?
I did. We took notes on each other's Australian hats, as a matter of fact.
There you go. Randy, thank you very much for the update, and we'll be talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of our favorite places when we're outside of Arizona. We like Silver City, and we like Grant County. Lots to do. Of course, the Gila National Wilderness, a great wilderness area. While we're talking about wilderness and hiking, man, you can't beat it over there. It's fantastic. Check it out. 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. The full list of places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County on their fine website. It's southwestnewmexico.org.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1222. Let's welcome now on the live line one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosion ever witnessed in the solar system. He is Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science and former science editor of Parade magazine. He now heads up the Sharing the Sky science education organization. David, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a little bit jet-lagged. I just returned from England and Germany, and I'm a little jet-lagged, but I'm okay. It's good to be back and good to be talking with you.
You were talking about one of your favorite subjects over in Germany, Shakespeare and the Night Sky.
Shakespeare and the Night Sky. It was something, the professional talk, I was very nervous about it because the first one of those I had given since getting my doctorate. But they had me do it in the planetarium, and it went very, very well. And the applause that I got at the end, instead of being the typical applause they do at the end of a professional talk, which is about 10 seconds long, you know, It went on and on and on.
Wow.
It went on for almost a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
I was very, very happy about that. And Roland Weidel, the person in charge of the conference, told me later that a number of people told him it was clearly the highlight of the entire conference.
Very cool.
I'm really glad about that, Bill.
David, of course, the comet, the landing on the comet, that's a European team that was kind of heading that up. But you have a role in that, don't you?
I did have a role in that, and that one of your colleagues in Detroit called me all the way from Germany to interview me about it on a program that he had. Huh. And that was a lot of fun. The interview was okay, and it was right after my professional talk. And but after that, I, you know, being so jet-lagged, I went back to the meeting and stayed there, didn't understand a word of the German presentation. And so then I just went back to the room and rested for the rest of the day. But, you know, it actually reminds me of my feeling. And that the quote that I want to share with you and your audience today by Sevilla Martin, who wrote words in 1905 that I have adapted for my own purposes, and it goes like this: whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to the sky. From care it sets me free. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me. You know, Bill, we are capable, especially the way the news has been in the last few years, of such awful things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just recently with what happened in Canada and what seems to be happening with ISIL and everything else, it's really a terrible thing. And we almost forget sometimes that as a species, we are also capable of amazing things, because the same species that almost destroyed itself with nuclear weapons and which is in danger even now, is capable of reaching for the stars. We were the same group that flew to the moon in 1969.
Yep.
That's an amazing accomplishment that we should never forget.
And we should remember that as we sit down a week from today at our Thanksgiving tables. It's really something to think about. Yes.
Yeah, you have said that, and we're going to be with our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren, and I think we should remember that. And when we do our prayer, I think I may mention that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, Bill.
You have an outstanding meteor shower. I hope it will be outstanding. A lot of people look forward to the Geminids.
The Geminids, yes.
Geminids.
Because they seem to come out of the area around the twins, Pollux and Castor. They are the highlight of the year. They are the most important shower of the year, and certainly the biggest. And the reason that we don't see them is it's so cold at that time of year. But to put on a warm coat and go outside anytime after about 10 o'clock at night, and we should be seeing meteors. It should be very, very exciting to see these coming up on December, the night of December the 13th and the night of December the 14th.
Hey,
there won't be a moon, and it should be great fun to see.
David, I want to get back to the landing on that comet. Are we going to learn quite a bit about comets and kind of the building blocks of maybe our own solar system?
Well, I honestly don't know. The thing is that we succeeded in landing on the comet, but we didn't get a whole lot of time there. And I'm hoping that when the comet nears the sun, that the power to the craft will increase and we'll be able to do more. We sure got some lovely images of what a comet's surface looks like, and I don't know, did you look at it and decide you'd like to live on there?
No.
Or is it much better to stay right here?
No, I didn't, but there was something on Facebook. Someone tried to kind of give a scale of what this thing looked like, and it's really it's a pretty big object, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's there are horizons and there are hills and valleys and things. It certainly would be pleasant to walk on it, except you'd have to be very careful, Bill, because if you jump a little bit too high, you'll go into orbit or escape into space and never come back. And this is really exciting. You would probably weigh about 1 pound or less.
That's a good way to lose weight. Hey, David, the very best to you and your lovely wife and colleague, Wendy, as we approach Thanksgiving a week from today. I really appreciate all you do and your public outreach in this community and helping out here on the show. Thank you for all of your support, David.
Okay, and thanks for the interview. I enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. David Levy, the world-renowned comet discoverer. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about trying to save that Tucson processing center, the postal center. So many people in the business community really think that this is so important that we have a postal center here with our own postmark. We'll be right back with George Khalil right after this.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call Five-Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call Five-Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
Five-Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Rick told me to take our car to Perfection Auto Works. He told me about their 26-point inspection, but oh fiddly-dee. I went to Ashley Automotive, and they still haven't got it fixed. Oh, what will I tell him? As God is my witness, I will never take my car anywhere but Perfection Auto Works again. If I have to lie, cheat, or steal, I'll never settle for lousy auto repair again. Oh no, Rhett's home.
So you saw Ashley, didn't you?
Rhett, we can get it fixed, right? There's always tomorrow.
It's too late for that, Scarlett.
Oh, Rhett, what will I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
At Perfection Auto Works, we never compromise when it comes to car or truck repairs. Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650. That's Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to you by our friend Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out their operation. I strongly recommend, if you're looking for an auto mechanic, check out the Perfection Auto Works team. It's perfectionautoworks.com, conveniently located Midtown, just north on Beverly, actually. They're just south, one block south of Speedway at 1046 North Beverly. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show live line, George Khalil, the president of Khalil Bottling Company, the family bottling business, been around in these parts since 1948. George, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
You wrote an op-ed piece recently in the Arizona Daily Star that the fight to preserve the Cherry Bell Postal Processing and Distribution Center is not over. It's not a done deal. How big a deal is this to Southern Arizona businesses if the Postal Service continues with their plan to shut down this facility?
Well, I directed my article primarily at business, but the reality of it is it affects everybody. The bill was very poorly planned there seems to be no logic in why they would close the posting of Tucson on our area with 1.5 million people and the giant area we take over, and plus all the people from Mexico that use the post office here. And it's just a shame. So I don't know. I would say that from business point of view, we've got enough weight we're carrying already. Tucson's been in a 5-year recession, and unfortunately the small and medium-sized businesses are all struggling. And our primary need is jobs, and this doesn't help us any by not having our own postal stamp.
George, how many employees do you have, and how would this impact your business?
Well, fortunately, we cover a large territory. This is our home plate, Tucson, but we actually cover the whole state of Arizona and half of New Mexico and El Paso, Texas, Durango, Colorado, and a little slice of Utah. So we have 750 employees altogether, and about 300 of them are located here in Tucson. And as far as how it would affect our business, fortunately, we cover a lot bigger area than just Tucson to help average our costs out. But this is our bookkeeping center, and this is where if it takes an extra day for our bills to get out, an extra day for the money to come back, it can be an enormous weight on any business, any size, and it can be an enormous weight on household problems too. So it's kind of like there shouldn't be anybody against Tucson being left on the map when you have two states in the Northeast where they still have three post office sorting stamping areas in one state and four in another, and the two of them together don't have as much population as we do here in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, you're referring to Wisconsin and Vermont,
yeah.
And I didn't realize, you point out in your article, your op-ed, that this Cherry Bell facility is the 15th largest facility out of 481.
The I'm not sure the exact number, but all I know is that it was very well run, and Mo Udall got the building in there years ago, they have about 250 employees, I believe, that work out there, maybe 300, but it's just a miscalculation. If no one knows how they came to all these decisions, and according to the audit that was done by the government to review it, they came up and said it looked like there was no serious effort to design a straightforward fair program.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Tom would like to weigh in on this subject. Go ahead, Tom. You're with George Khalil.
I would like to say to Mr. Khalil and to you, Bill, that I would be willing to pay $2 for a postage stamp, which now costs 49 cents, if it meant saving all the postal centers in the United States, including also, if possible, to have Sunday delivery, if possible, on Sundays other than the holiday season. And I might add that in 1880s Tucson, it cost more than $2 to send a letter across the country, and it took much, much longer than 3 days.
Okay. Good point, Tom. It's still it's still a bargain for what we're getting.
You know, from a financial point of view,
yeah.
The interesting thing about the post office is that post office is supposed to be independent, but it's run on very high level by the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or other, I haven't found this answer yet, but somehow or other, Congress decided to start paying the retirement fees for employees to a tune of $5 billion a year, and these employees, many of them haven't even been hired yet.
Wow.
And you know, every business in this country is struggling just to put aside the money that they need, but can you imagine that they're paying ahead of schedule?
No.
And so when they say they lost $6 million, it's not accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, if I prepaid all my expenses for the next 5 years, I'd lose ton of money myself.
Let's see if we can work one more call in here. I got about a minute left. Ingrid, go ahead. You're with George Khalil.
Hello. Would you happen to know who's responsible for the physical condition of the facility? For instance, yesterday I was at a post office and the lobby was freezing cold. Could there have been something wrong with the thermostat? On another occasion in the summer, one of the doors was constantly open. It went on for weeks. The same thing happened a couple of years prior to that. And the air conditioning was going out into the parking lot.
Okay, Ingrid, I don't know if Mr. Khalil knows that. We could ask him.
You know, I sure don't. I guess all I'm hoping to accomplish is keep the post office in Tucson at a standard that enables us to develop industry, to take care of households, no matter how small or how large, and take care of all businesses, and that's what I'm working on, and so it's my pet project, and we think we're going to win.
All right. George Khalil, a Khalil Bottling Company president. Of course, the best way to make your voice heard would be to contact our elected representatives, correct, George?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us, sir.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. All right. Coming up on 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show, our Superstars of Science series brought to you by the U of A College of Science. Coming up next.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance. When it comes to parties and events, I always use Arizona Party Rental, where quality and customer service are their priority as well.
This is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shooting.
Trudeau. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Hi, this is Andy Brown. I've been in the special event business over 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
This is Bob Schaff. For your next party or event, don't think about calling anyone but Arizona Party Rental. Their selection is amazing, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by the University of Arizona College of Science. With nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students, the College of Science brings together globally prominent faculty in disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. You can find out more at cos.arizona.edu, UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Rafe Sagarin, Biosphere 2 Ocean Program Manager. Rafe is also leading the initiative to repurpose the system from its original Caribbean model to a Sea of Cortez to realize the full research and outreach potential of that particular system. Rafe is a marine ecologist and environmental policy analyst. He's studied responses of marine communities and wetlands to climate change, illegal fishing, pollution, and other human impacts. Rafe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I've really been looking forward to talking to you because I'm curious about how you go about this so-called repurposing or retranslating what you have at Biosphere when it comes to the water, kind of a Caribbean reef system to something a little closer to home in the Sea of Cortez. It seems like it would be a huge undertaking. Try to explain to our listeners, how do you do this?
Yeah, well, the huge undertaking was building the Biosphere 2 itself. And when the University of Arizona came to it, we started looking at the different habitats and thinking, what could we do with it as a premier scientific research and outreach facility? And when we looked at the ocean, we saw that this was not the ocean that was originally built in the Biosphere, which was a beautiful, rich coral reef. But really what we have is a big tank of salt water, a lot of algae, and a few fish. And we knew we could do a lot better and a lot more with that ocean. And as a lot of people in this area are interested in the beauty and the diversity of the region, we thought, well, we should really make this represent the Sea of Cortez, which is our nearest ocean, and an ocean which is connected in all sorts of ways to the Sonoran Desert and southern Arizona.
How big a coral reef, or what were we talking about? How many hundreds of thousands of gallons are we talking about?
The ocean is about 700,000 gallons. It has a beach and a shallow area and a lagoon, and it goes to about 21 feet deep in the deep end, which makes it suitable for scuba dive training.
Really?
Absolutely.
And why were the original Biosphere 2 builders, why did they pick this particular oceanic environment?
Well, the original Biosphere 2 builders were always big thinkers, and they were thinking, what is the biggest challenge in terms of ocean science? And they were seeing at that time in the late 1980s the first signs that coral reefs are really suffering from global change. And so they wanted to bring in a coral reef ecosystem to study it and to understand how it might be affected by harsh environments and global change.
And you're conducting marine science then in this kind of desert sea that really can't be conducted anywhere else on Earth, I guess.
Yeah, that's a special thing about this Biosphere 2 that we inherited for the university, is that it's one of the few, maybe the only place on Earth that has the combination of the complexity of real-world environments with the control that you get in a laboratory. So we can do all sorts of experiments here on a model of a natural system that you really can't do anywhere else, including out in the field in the real world. There are certain things we'd like to do, like simulate climate change or ocean acidification, that wouldn't be ethical or wouldn't be possible to do out in the wild.
Dr. Rafe Sagarin, University of Arizona, Biosphere 2, UA College of Science, with us. It's interesting. I'm sure you get some surprised looks, Rafe, when people say, well, what do you do? What kind of work are you in? And you say, I'm a marine biologist working in the desert.
Every person laughs at me when I say I'm a marine biologist in the desert, which is so funny because I don't live any farther from the sea than I did when I worked at Duke University, but no one questioned that. And that's exactly at the heart of this project. We want to show our visitors that there are strong connections between the desert and the sea, because it is so hard for people to imagine being in a desert and yet being in an environment that is affected by and connected to the ocean. But it's really true, and no place is it more true than here in southern Arizona, where you have one of the richest deserts in the world, biologically speaking, meeting one of the richest oceans in the world, which is the Sea of Cortez or Gulf of California.
And when you think about it, Rafe, we were underwater at one time here in the desert, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there is this connection, I mean, somewhere in our genetic past.
Absolutely. We were literally under the sea here, yeah. And now, you know, when we experience those wonderful monsoon storms, worms in the summer, those are a gift from the sea because the moisture that they carry up to our area in large part comes from the Sea of Cortez. So that's one connection right there.
You may think this is crazy. Maybe you don't think it's crazy, but when we had kind of the remnants of several of the big tropical storms moving through the area, I swear when I went out to get the mail one day as one of those storms had been moving through, it smelled like it does if I was standing on the beach on the ocean.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because a marine biologist...
Have you ever felt the same...
You know, I used to live near the sea, and some days this in Tucson, I feel like maybe I'm just hallucinating because I really smell the sea.
Yeah.
Like it's wishful thinking, but I think it's true. I think you can smell the sea at times.
I want to talk about what's going on at Biosphere 2 with this underground ocean gallery. This is really a neat thing going on, and there's a connection... people, of course, know the renowned author, writer, John Steinbeck. I didn't realize he had this ocean... he was very much interested in the oceans, correct?
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful story and connection that we're showing in our ocean gallery, which is open to the public now after a major renovation. It's the story of John Steinbeck and his best friend, Ed Ricketts, who was a marine biologist in Cannery Row in the early 1930s and 40s. They traveled together to the Sea of Cortez in 1940. And I was fortunate enough in 2004 to travel to the exact same places that they went more than 60 years before. Beforehand to see how the Sea of Cortez had changed. And we tell that story in our ocean gallery at Biosphere 2.
How are we doing in preserving ocean reefs? There's been, as you say, there was a lot of concern. It started that concern, I guess, in the 80s and 90s that we were losing a lot of our ocean reefs.
Yeah, not just ocean reefs, but oceans around the world face numerous threats from coastal development and pollution to overfishing to ocean acidification, which I mentioned, which happens from having too much carbon deposited in the oceans. On the other hand, the story that we try to tell at our Biosphere 2 exhibit in the Ocean Gallery is that there is, in very localized ways, a pretty hopeful future. When I go down to the Gulf of California and see how many people are working, and it is environmentalists and fishermen working together to preserve the future of the oceans, I'm actually an optimist, although I do see a number of impacts directly right now.
The port of Guaymas is going to become huge. As you know, Rafe Segerin, the Long Beach port, pretty much very, very at capacity. This port of Guaymas is being coming online. I'm wondering about the environmental impact of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ports can have a very strong environmental impact from bringing invasive species into an area just to pollution while ships are idling at dock. And, you know, at the same time, there are people who are developing plans for much cleaner ports, electrified ports that keep that dirty diesel fuel from being burned all the time while ships are idling and those sort of things. So this port undoubtedly will have major impacts, but those impacts can be lessened if they use the best practices that are coming out with ports throughout the world.
How about the Desert Sea Project, putting that together? That is, it's a costly endeavor and will require major fundraising.
Absolutely, and that's just what I'm about to embark upon, is raising major funds for this project, which is a multi-million dollar project. The estimates we have are right in line with other large-scale aquaria like the Monterey Bay Aquaria, what it took to rebuild a tank of a similar size. But what we offer here is that we're doing both science and this public outreach, showing the excitement of the oceans, but actually doing science right in that place so that the public will be able to see us doing our work while they're seeing the amazing organisms of the Gulf of California. So it's really unique in that sense, too. There are very few facilities that have both real science and high-quality public education and outreach in the same place. And that's what we're aiming for.
A lot of folks who live in Tucson have never been to Biosphere 2.
I know. I'm always excited to tell people to get up there because it is such an amazing place. We have incredible tour guides who are really well trained, and we share the whole history of the Biosphere 2 and its present and its future with people. And it's really a fun place to see, and it's beautiful up there on the backside of the Catalina Mountains.
And the project was conceived now almost 20 years ago, I guess, when you think about it.
It is amazing to go there and to see the grand vision that went into building this place. I always show people who visit these little glass spheres we have there, which are sealed glass balls that had little mini ecosystems in them. Until Biosphere was built, these little glass balls were sort of the state of the art in studying whole ecosystems in a sealed environment. Then they scaled that up to over 3 acres in dimension. It's still astounding, and every day I'm up there, my mind is blown again.
Dr. Rafe Sagarin, thank you very much. We'll see you at Biosphere 2. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
You can find out more about the College of Science at cos.arizona.edu. UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy an ice-chilled bottle of Culligan water. Also, remember the Rug Gallery in Tucson. They've extended some really extraordinary savings through the end of the month as part of their anniversary sale at Campbell and River. Ed Alexander and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you 12:04 tomorrow. Remember, Wake Up Tucson gets underway 6 to 8. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.